Well, let me give you a little introduction to my wife and I. That's that handsome couple. All right. Well, my wife, Lois, she's out by the books, and we taught in Christian schools in Ohio for about 14 years. We've got two kids and three grandkids, and when the kids left home, we went off to Africa, and at Africa, we taught missionary kids. We actually met somebody just yesterday who was knows about the academy where we were in the Ivory Coast. Well, after about 10 years there, then we came back and I connected with Answers in Genesis with the Creation Museum and the Ark, and I was with them for 8 years. And with their Ark, they don't need as many speakers, so I went over with Carl Kirby and Reasons for Hope. And like I said yesterday, we're just like Answers in Genesis, we just don't have an Ark. You know, called Ark Envy, I think. But what's Reasons for Hope all about? What we want to do is we want people to believe the whole Word of God, all of it. And the real history looks like this. God didn't need billions of years to create, did he?
No,
he didn't. He made a perfect earth in 6 normal days, and we could have lived in that earth forever. But what happened? Well, Adam sinned. And with his sin, the whole creation is cursed. And now there's death and suffering, and we're looking forward to Jesus Christ. He's going to come and remedy all that. And the trouble is, all of Adam's race, we all need a Savior, Jesus Christ. Sin got so bad, God destroyed the whole world in a global flood. And then you got the Tower of Babel, where God had to confuse the languages of family groups so they would eventually spread out. And then the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, what did he do? He became a baby, related all the way back to Adam, so he could be our sacrifice, our substitute. And if you have trusted in him, when he comes back again, he's going to restore us back to much like it was at the beginning. You're looking forward to that? There's the real history of the universe. But this truth is under attack today. You don't have to be the most observant person in the world to know that Christianity is under attack. Actually, there's a full-scale war going on against the Bible and people that believe it. Here's Newsweek says, the decline and fall of Christian America. They're celebrating that, and they understand there's a war going on against Christians. One of the attacks is that science says you can't believe the Bible, and I talked about that yesterday. But there's another attack that's very insidious, is creeping up on us. It's the idea that all of Western culture that's based on the Judeo-Christian worldview, this has to be, you got to get rid of it because it's evil. What do I mean by Western culture being influenced by the Judeo-Christian worldview? Well, for 500 years since Martin Luther brought the Bible back to Europe, called the Reformation, and Europe was strongly influenced by the Word of God. And those people, many of those, got on boats and came over to the United States, and they became people that wanted to start something new, like something amazing. And they wrote it down what their belief was. They says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. This is just obvious that all men are created equal. In other words, whether they were born again or not, they accepted that the Bible was true, and this is how we got here. This was a worldview that was brought over from Europe over to the United States. That's why people say Western culture strongly influenced by the Judeo-Christian worldview. And here's what we would think it would be, that a biblical worldview, in that there is a God that created us and loves us. And there's also truth. He gave us truth in the Word of God. There is such thing as truth. And who are we? We are created in God's image. We have tremendous value, and we're also responsible for ourselves. You see, the founding fathers envisioned something that was never achieved in all of world history. Instead of we, the government, they wanted we, the people. In other words, they wanted to elevate the importance and value of each individual. Why did they believe that? Because God is interested in each individual. Makes sense. See, the biblical worldview is the only one in the entire world that values not only human life, but each individual. And that's why each individual has intrinsic rights and values that are written into our Constitution. That's what they envision. Something different than what has been throughout world history. But there is another worldview out there called secular humanism, where there is no God. You eliminate God out of the equation and you have no foundation for law. You have no definition for what's good. You have no morality like honesty, just agenda. There's no foundation for human dignity or individual rights. They're just animals. And the government's supposed to take care of you and care of you like a farmer takes care of cows. Well, sometimes politicians are real honest and they share what their foundational beliefs are, where their whole political ideas grow from this. Like this particular man, he was asked some questions about aliens and UFOs, and he says, well, it doesn't make any difference if they exist or not, because, he said, it wouldn't change his politics at all. He said, my entire politics is premised on the fact that we are these tiny organisms on this little speck of floating in the middle of space. In other words, what's his view of people? All we are is just insignificant specks. Or are we created in God's image with tremendous value? You see, there's a big difference in taking a look at this. Your worldview determines how we are going to treat other people. Do they have value or don't they have value? That's your worldview. That's why America happens to be the most generous when it comes to giving to people than any other country in the entire world. Because those people that came from Europe, they brought their Christianity and it influenced the whole culture. Not that everybody's saved at all, but people see things through a biblical perspective that people have value and we ought to help people. Well, this secular worldview has been taught in public education, and it's being taught everywhere. And it's not only that, it's promoted in movies and in TV. It's promoted by the news media, magazines. Even the big tech are getting in on it, and they're promoting just one agenda, and they're censoring everybody else with a biblical agenda. The secular worldview is they're working in unison together against Christianity to attack Christianity. Folks, we have to understand here in America, Americans, we always were playing on the home field. You see, when we played in the stadium was filled with Christians cheering us on. This is the way it always has been. But now with secular humanism taking over, now all of our games are played on enemy turf. Yeah. The wider culture sits in the stands and they shout hateful things at Christians and they glory in all of our losses, and the elites up in the boxes and the speakers that are the media, they're all cheering them on. We have to understand we're not playing in home field advantage anymore. I call this talk the gathering storm. Because there's a storm coming. It's secular humanism, and it's out to attack Christianity, and we have to understand what it is in order to be able to stand up against it. Just to give you a little idea how much they hate the Bible, let's listen to the secular humanist.
The Bible is an incredibly dangerous book. The battle for humankind's future must be waged and won in the public classroom by teachers who correctly perceive their role as the proselytizers of a new faith. The classroom must and will become an arena of conflict between the old and the new. The rotting corpse of Christianity, together with all its adjacent evils and misery, and the new faith of humanism, resplendent with the promise of a world in which the never-realized Christian ideal of love thy neighbor will finally be achieved.
How about that? They really think that secular humanism is going to finally make a perfect earth, and they hate Christianity because it's holding them back. Well, higher education has been teaching this particular worldview for a long time, but public schools, high schools, has taken up also. So you've got, it's being taught, what? Well, evolution is being taught. That's the foundation for secular humanism. Evolution, this is not a science topic, all right? It's a worldview topic. It's actually a religious topic because it talks about, answers questions like where we came from, who are we? It talks about truth and who we are and where we're going and answers all those questions. So the idea that there is no God, there is no truth, and man is just an evolving animal, we need to be cared for just like a farmer cares for animals. So if that's what they're teaching, then obviously they're going to teach militant socialism because that goes hand in hand. Either if there's no truth, then you can make up your own truth and you can be whatever gender that you want to be. And how about pagan earth worship? Yeah, they worship the creation rather than the creator. That's what we see. And if that's not bad enough, we're seeing critical race theory. Have you been exposed to that any at all? Well, it's being taught that Western culture, based upon the Judeo-Christian value, it's got to be destroyed. You got to get rid of it all because it's evil. It is racist.
Do you think the United States and Western Europe are made up of imperialist, colonialist, resource-exploiting, greedy, grasping, brown-skin-hating people whose values are not worth defending? If you think this question is absurd and that no one thinks this way, you would be very much mistaken. Many people do. And what's even more disturbing, many of these people were born and live in the West. In other words, they've come to despise their own culture.
Yes, they're being taught in school to despise their own culture. They're taught that the system is rigged against them, that they can't succeed. Now, this is so sad, because what does it do? And all it does is breeds resentment and fatalism and entitlement. Now, it suppresses individual responsibility and accountability. If there's always somebody else to blame, that prevents individuals from taking responsibility for their own actions. Really, it makes people powerless to change their lives. That's what critical race theory is. Now, if you're wondering who these oppressor people are that they talk about, let's take a look at some curriculum designed to help children understand. Who are the oppressors? Well, men, white people, heterosexual people, wealthy people, they're against the poor, and Christian people. Do you realize that Christianity is now being taught as the enemy? Now, if Christianity is being taught as the enemy, you can begin to understand why the younger generation is turning to atheism. It's like doubling. And then there's another problem. What about the young people growing up in our Bible-believing churches? On average, 2 out of 3, by the time they go off to college, they've been so influenced by secular humanism in the world that they're just rejecting Christianity. That's unsustainable, folks. This is kind of like a wake-up call. We need to do things to prepare our children for what they're getting and make sure that they don't become part of a statistic like that. Well, you would expect that if you just watch the media that America has to be the most racist country in the world. Well, let's listen to a little bit of what Dinesh D'Souza said, because what he's going to point out is that the Marxist way of looking at things is saying, well, the reason why the West is so powerful and so rich is because they're so evil. Colonialism, forcing on other people, taking other people's land and then enslaving people. That's why the West is so good. And that whole thing has to be abolished. Well, listen to Dinesh D'Souza again.
Western civilization, they say, became so powerful because it is so evil. The study of Western civilization, they insist, should focus on colonialism and slavery, the unique mechanisms of Western oppression. But colonialism and slavery are not uniquely Western at all. They are universal. The British conquered India and ruled it for 300 years. But before the British, the Persians, the Mongols, the Muslims, and Alexander the Great had done exactly the same thing, conquered large parts of India. Indeed, the British were the 6th or 7th colonial invader to occupy India. As for slavery, it has existed in every culture. It was prevalent in ancient China, in ancient India, in Greece and Rome, and in Africa. American Indians practiced slavery long before Columbus set foot here. What is uniquely Western, in fact, is not slavery, but the abolition of slavery. And what distinguishes the West from all other cultures are the institutions of democracy, capitalism, and science.
Well, what's he saying? Is colonialism and slavery unique to Western culture? Not at all. It's been part of all cultures. It's because of sin, folks. People are sinful. Everybody wants to oppress others to build themselves up. But what is unique with Western culture? Now, Western culture adapted slavery and had slavery and things like that. But what is unique about Western culture is the abolition of slavery. Not only that, but Western culture, based upon Christianity, led the world in elevating women to a place of dignity rather than just property. No other culture in all of the world has ever done anything like that. And they want to destroy that. But we have to ask the question.
Is there still racism in America? Of course there is. But racism is not in America's DNA. Recent history and a lot of research and data prove it. As liberal Harvard sociologist Orlando Patterson said, America is now the least racist white majority society in the world, has a better record of legal protections of minorities than any other society, white or black, offers more opportunities to a greater number of black persons than any other society, including all of those of Africa. Patterson, by the way, is black. I'm Larry Elder for Prager University.
Well, that kind of cuts across what you're being taught, isn't it? Now, what's being taught is the same thing that was taught in Germany that caused people to kill millions of people. What is that? Well, the Bible's not true. We're just animals, and judge people by their race. You see, if we allow these things to be taught to our young people, history's going to repeat itself, and it's going to end badly, folks. Well, I say all this to help you understand that there is a direct and deliberate attack against the church. Christianity is now being considered the enemy. Well, not only the church, but also, what about the family, the normal family, like a mom and a dad? See, the secular humanists want to get rid of this mom and dad idea of a family. So we've come a long ways, though, from father knows best, to a bigot dad, to an idiot dad, to who needs a dad? Maybe two dads, maybe three dads, maybe who knows, whatever. We've come a long ways, haven't we? They call that progress, don't they? Now, people begin to think that, well, these people are born this way, so you can't criticize them. And here's how it's being taught. I mean, politicians say it. Let's listen to this guy.
My marriage to Chasten has made me a better man. And yes, Mr. Vice President, it has moved me closer to God. I can tell you that if me being gay was a choice, it was a choice that was made far, far above my pay grade. And that's the thing I wish the Mike Pences of the world would understand. That if you got a problem with who I am, your problem is not with me. Your quarrel, sir, is with my Creator.
So what he's saying is that, now, God made him who he is to marry another man. All right? So people are being taught that people are born that way. Well, let's take a look and see what God actually did. You see, God is truth, and he created Adam and Eve, and he created male and female and set up the very first marriage. Now, you would expect that observational science, like we talked about yesterday, ought to back up what's truth. And it is. Scientists are saying that there's no genetic connection. People are not born that way. John Hopkins University study. But we're being taught that you have to be true to yourself. You see, if you can tell a lie long enough, people will believe it. And if you're told that, and your people say, well, you have to be true to yourself. Well, who are we anyways? Who are we to be true to ourselves? What does God say who we are? Well, in Jeremiah, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Our heart lies to us. That's who we are. And we're desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's who we are. This is why God says to flee sexual sins and to exercise yourself to the right things and not the wrong things. But folks, what if somebody doesn't run from sin? What if they start exercising the wrong things? Well, what does Peter tell us? He says, having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin. In other words, they're full of immoral thoughts and actions, and now they cannot stop. Beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. In other words, they have started something and they can't stop. So what is a Christian, and there's a lot of them, claims to be gay? Well, what happens is young people in our culture will have a temptation. Is that sin? Temptation is not sin. If it were sin, then Jesus would have been a sinner, right? No. We're supposed to deal with temptation. But what happens in our culture? Someone says, oh, I had this urge, this temptation. I must be one of them. And then they don't flee. They don't run. They start engaging in wrong thoughts. And wrong thoughts lead to wrong actions. Wrong actions lead to patterns of life that are ingrained into their life. And they can't stop. So they buy into the lie. They blame God. God must have made him that way. See, this is more prevalent in the Christian church in America than we think. Because there's young people that are dealing with these type of things because it's just so much part of our culture. We have to have compassion, folks, for these young people that are caught up in this bondage of sin. And they need to know there's victory in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Well, marriage and gender as being under attack so much. Just a couple examples here. Here's a fire chief in Atlanta, who was fired from his job because he wrote a book on Christian marriage designed for his church. How about Facebook shuts down a group of 500 moms for speaking out against drag queen story hours for little children? Right? Weird stuff. Now, sometimes, again, the politicians actually come out and say what they think, and here's Barack Obama again telling us what his worldview is, how his leadership style. Listen to what he had to say.
On issues that are important to us, we're going to punish our enemies and we're going to reward our friends.
Punish your enemies and reward our friends. Does that sound like what a president of the United States ought to do? Well, did he do that? Well, he certainly did that. How did he punish him? He weaponized the IRS to target conservative groups. Now, if you remember that, they denied it up and down. Do you remember this? Oh, it's just a conspiracy theory. They denied it up and down. And then, eventually, the IRS had to apologize to these groups. They had to pay out millions in damages. You probably never heard that on the news. Well, what else was weaponized? Well, they weaponized the court system to go after bakers and florists. If you're wondering what the current administration will do, well, they already told us, if you were listening during the election time. Let's listen to what they said.
Do you think religious institutions like colleges, churches, charities, should they lose their tax-exempt status if they oppose same-sex marriage?
Yes. There can be no reward, no benefit, no tax break for anyone or any institution, any organization in America that denies the full human rights and the full civil rights of every single one of them.
That's a direct attack on, say, 50% of the population of America. Right? It goes on.
Thank you very much for this question. So first of all, point blank, this is a real problem in America, and I will, number one, change the Trump administration's guidance back to what the Obama administration's guidance was, that schools should allow people to use the bathrooms that conforms with their gender identity. But we cannot stop there. We must use our Department of Justice and our Department of Education's Civil Rights Division to go after schools that are denying people equal rights and equal protections.
weaponizing the Department of Justice. Say, what kind of world would this be where a boy can have full rights from the government to go into the shower room with your daughter? I hope there's enough men that stand up against these type of things, because that's just crazy. Well, what's happening today? Well, the IRS is being weaponized again. Let me give you one illustration. They're targeting again at conservative groups, and there was a conservative group that was denied their 501c3 status because, and listen here, I'll read it for you. You educate Christians on what the Bible says. This is the IRS saying to a conservative group. In areas of sanctity of life, you know what that is, as against abortion, the definition of marriage, you know what that is, biblical justice, that's against critical race theory, freedom of speech, defense, borders and immigration, you know what they're talking about there, U.S.-Israel relationships. The Bible teachings are typically affiliated with the Republican Party and candidates. This disqualifies you from exemption under the IRC section 501c3. In other words, it's a direct attack upon everything that we believe, right? Yeah. This is what's happening. So this is an interesting precedent. You teach these things of the Bible, then you're the evil one. That's how they do that. What? How do totalitarian governments deal with people that they don't like? Well, it usually starts out with marginalization. What's that? Oh, you keep your religious ideas out of the public place. Now, I've grown up with a culture being like that. Yeah, it's okay if you want to be Christian, just don't talk about it in public place. And then it's vilification. Oh, Christians are evil, they're racist, they're against science. And yeah, this is where we are today, right? And it gets worse. Then you criminalize. There's criminalization. Oh, you're not allowed to say that. Or you have to do this. Or you'll be fined or put in prison. And the next step, obviously, is elimination. The offenders must be removed for the greater good of society. That's how it happens. Well, not only is there a storm against the church, it's not only against the family, but how about our entire country and all the freedoms that we hold dear? There's a whole generation who has been indoctrinated into secular humanism, and that they're crying for things like democratic socialism. Anybody heard that? Yes, this is what we want. let me show you this lady to connect some things together.
And I believe that the organization itself is using black people to advance a Marxist agenda. And the corporations, the schools, the churches, the people that have gotten behind Black Lives Matter, the organization, they think they're helping black people. They think they're showing support for black people, but actually it's the opposite.
What is it? Well, I hope you begin to notice that critical race theory and Marxism is going hand in hand. What you have to do is you have to get rid of a whole culture in order to set up a socialistic culture. So what is democratic socialism? This is where the people vote to let the government take control of all the means of production and redistribute the wealth. That sounds nice, but what if somebody doesn't go along with it? See, that's when socialism turns automatically into a dictatorship. It always does. In order for the system to work, they have to have everybody do it, and then they become a dictatorship. And they've got a lot of history of executing millions of people who don't go along with it. That's what democratic socialism is. See? The Marxists know that if they promise people a whole lot of free stuff, that people will be willing to topple governments, even whole cultures, to get what they want. That's the strategy for Marxism. Now, what we've been the end result is that they want a Marxist, beautiful society know, a global control, and you'd have a utopia where everything is Marxist. And the people are talking about the New World Order, but they're not talking about New World Order now. There's a new name. All right, you maybe have heard it, but at the World Economic Forum, they're now talking about the Great Reset. Anybody heard of the Great Reset? What is that? Sometimes called the global currency reset. Well, the Klaus Schwab, who is the founder of World Economic Forum, he said, I'll read it for you, the pandemic represents a rare and narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. What does he want to do? Well, they actually had a little video. I'll give you a couple clips from the video. They're bragging about what they want. Here's the first thing. First clip is, you will own nothing and you will be happy. Now, somebody will own everything, but it won't be you. They also said, Western values will have been tested to the breaking point. In other words, what are they saying about Western values? It's really an attack upon Christian values. They want to destroy the entire biblical worldview and set up a socialist utopia. Now, how can the pandemic be used to bring in something like the Great Reset? What can you do? Well, Klaus Schwab is the one that coined the phrase, build back better. And when he said that a whole lot of politicians all over the world picked up on that phrase and they used it. The idea here is that in order to build back better, you got to tear down what already exists. In a nutshell, they wanted to use the COVID as an opportunity to scare people into handing over their freedoms, their personal sovereignty, even their own bodies. The health crisis could be used to tear down a democratic society and build what they would call a more controlled society. How can they do that? Well, like I'm saying, in order to build back better, you have to tear down what already exists. Could the lockdowns be used to tear down what already exists, the whole economy? Certainly can. All right. There's something else going on that we don't talk about an awful lot. We better get it out and talk about it. Let's listen to what these guys have to say.
Don't get the vaccine, you can't go to the supermarket. Don't have the vaccine, you don't show it, can't go to the ball game. Don't have the vaccine, can't go to work.
That's what they want. In other words, what they're saying is if you don't submit to what the government says, then you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't do anything. That sound interesting? See, whether a person chooses to participate in this experimental gene therapy they call a vaccine, or you don't wish to participate, that should be our choice, correct?
Yes.
Should be a choice. That's the way it ought to be. Now, some people say, well, science is on their side. Everybody ought to get it. Listen, okay? Let's be honest. There has not been enough time for clinical trials to determine the long-term safety and effectiveness of this shot. The FDA usually requires years of study before they introduce anything into the public. Why are they pushing it so fast on us? That's the question that you need to be asking. So if we let the government have the power to inject anything they want into our body at any time for what any reason, guess what? They will have total control over the population. To me, this is something worth fighting for. This is a line in the sand. Are we going to have freedom of choice, or are we going to be under absolute control? Listen, these elite, they honestly believe that the world would be better off if they were under total control. That's their worldview. So yes, there's a storm gathering against the church, against the family, against all of our freedoms. What will it take to bring America back to the Bible? Interesting question, huh? Well, how about Israel? What happened with them? Time and time again, they went off in the wrong direction and worshiped other gods, and God brought in an enemies to take over, and then they repented and God changed it. And do you want to know where the greatest revival today in the world is going on? Anybody want to guess the greatest Christian revival today? It's actually communist China, the underground church. There, from 1949 to present, it's gone from 1 million Christians to over 100 million Christians. That's amazing in just a short time. Let's take a look at the underground church in China.
Few places in the world are seeing the explosion of God's power like the underground church in China is experiencing. And in the last 60 years, China's communist government has done its best to wipe Christianity off the map. What you are about to see is some of the rarest footage on the planet. In this church, the people wake up at 4:30 to come together for 2 hours to pray and worship. They do this every day. This church meets in the only place they are safe, a cave. One thing I quickly realized about the Chinese church is that it's a lot different from the American one. For one thing, they think a 4-hour sermon is short. In this church service, it's 120 degrees inside the building. The people meet for 12 hours straight.
I was so blown away that I asked the leader, because after a week there, I'm going, it seems like everyone's serious about God here. Where are the casual ones? There's got to be. And he says, well, actually, there aren't. He goes, that doesn't make sense in this region. Why would you casually become a Christian? You lose everything. You lose your job, you lose your home, you get ostracized from your village. Look at all these people. They had to flee into the jungles for their lives. Why would you casually do that? I thought, wow.
Wow, huh?
Never before has a regime been as bloody in its persecution of religious faith as the CCP government. It regards Christianity and Catholicism as cults. It has labeled the Bible a book of cults, and has confiscated and burned countless copies of it. It has seized and demolished churches and tried to eradicate all house churches. Under the rabid oppression and brutal persecution of the CCP government, countless Christians have been arrested, tortured, and imprisoned. Many others have had to go into hiding, unable to return home.
That's amazing. Well, I was reading in the magazine on martyrs around the world how we ought to pray for the church in China. And yes, we should. Back about 3 years ago, I was speaking in the Philippines, and I met a man that speaks all over the world. I rubbed shoulders with him and got to know him, and he told me some interesting things. He says the place he likes to go the least is the United States, because they have such a low view of Scripture. That's sad, huh? And he told me one more thing. He says, he goes into the China, into the underground church. He says, the churches in China pray for the Christians in America. Now you tell me, who needs a prayer the most? See, maybe we're saying, oh, it's secular humanism, and we're blaming them for all the problems. Maybe it's not them. Maybe it's us. Well, we have to face it, folks. The conservative older generation is dying off, and it's being replaced with a whole group of people that want to tear everything down that we hold dear. So there's a storm coming, so what do we do? Well, we could put our heads in the sand. A lot of people do that. We could be worried and depressed, or we could place our hope in the Lord. Are you with me on that one? Yes, I think Psalms 37 was written just for a day like this, and let me take some time to read it for you. says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as a noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Amen. Oh, it says, fret not. In other words, we don't have to worry. Why? We win. It might be tough, but we win in the end. God has control. We can cast all of our care upon him. He'll care for us. It says not to fret evildoers, but trust in the Lord and do good. Now, what is that? What good can we do? Are there things that we can do to push back against the storm? There certainly is. We ought to be praying. If ever our country and leaders need prayer, it's now. There is a direct attack. It's a satanic attack directed at Jesus Christ, his name, and the Bible, and Christians. And we need to pray and hold that back. We're told that if you want to live a quiet and peaceable life, then pray for those that are in authority. So that's an important thing that we can do. We ought to be doing that. How about being the salt of the earth? What does it mean to be salt? Well, back then it was used as a preserving agent, keep things from spoiling. And so what he meant was that Christians are a preserving agent in the culture just by living out godly lives. Moms and dads, we are being a preserving agent, keeping the world from being as bad as what it could be. We need to stand with holy lives in contrast to the world. That might be tough, but that's what God designed, to be salt. It keeps the world from being as bad as what it could be. See, this is what this talk is all about, folks. It's not business as usual. Let's come to church and sing and say, yeah, and then we go home and do whatever we do. See, children need to see that you have a relationship, a living relationship with a living Creator. If they can see that in you, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, they will want what you have. It's not business as usual, folks. See, we need to prepare our children for spiritual warfare. The evil one is out to get our children as never before. So there's other things that we can do to push back. We should be able to stand up for what's right. Amen? Yeah? See? How about just being an example? What do godly men and women do in this time? Do they cower or do they stand up for what's right? How can we do these things? Can you be part of your local government, school board? Maybe encourage people that are good people that are running. Are there things that you can do? I want you to think through that. You know, support good people. Well, not only need to be a salt, that's a preserving agent in our culture, but we need to be a light. See? We must stand and meet the storm of secular humanism with the full force of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't afford to be silent. Now, the stakes are too high, folks. The gospel's the only answer for humanity. I hope you believe that. Gospel's the only hope. See, people need to be transformed by the power of the gospel. That's God's way. That's his way he designed it. Not top-down government forcing everybody, but each person reaching one person and growing and transforming an entire culture. Yeah. Got to teach young people not to be ashamed of the gospel. That's so powerful. And we don't want our young people to bow down to the pressures of the world and not be, we don't want them to be ashamed to declare the gospel message. But the question is, how can we expect the world to trust God's word as the truth when so many Christians sitting in churches have all kinds of doubts and questions themselves about the Bible? It's all over our culture. Can't help but have those questions until you get answers. This is why we have this set of books called the Answer Books from Answers in Genesis. Each book gives 25 or 30 of the most asked questions that cause generation after generation to reject the Bible. Here's one for teens. It's more on a devotional scale. Each question is designed just like young people would say. The first one, the last question, it says, why would God love somebody so messed up like me? Does that sound like something young people say all the time? Yeah, these books are great. And for little children, answer books for little children. We've got books on dinosaurs and creation basics and back here. This book right here goes through the real history, how God created and perfect world and Adam sinned and flood and all these things. And if you believe this literal history, well, how's that going to affect your belief of social issues? Those books go hand in hand. We have Reset for Parents, How to Keep Children from Backsliding, and a new one by Ken Ham, Divided Nation, which we're talking about today. I've got a couple videos yet on human evolution and fossils that are back there. We even have the Big Book of History, which is a history from Adam all the way to Donald Trump. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. It is, right. In other words, it shows there's literal historical events, and it lines it up with other historical events, like what was going on in biblical history when Plato was alive. Or see, because it's not real history and then spiritual ideas, and then we tell a bunch of spiritual stories. You know, they have to have the literal history, and we need to teach it in chronological order. That's why we have this book. You can go through the entire Bible in 1 year, just 10 minutes a week. It's something to help moms and dads to be able to get through the Word of God and give it a chronological right straight through, because they're seeing just a bunch of stories and they don't see the whole picture. Well, folks, there's a storm gathering. It's against this church. It's against the family. It's against everything that we hold true and dear. So what do we do? We don't have to fret. Don't have to be afraid. We can trust the Lord. We can do what's right. We can stand up for what is right. And we can preach the gospel because it's the only answer. We can do this, can't we? Why can we do this? Because our hope is in the Lord. Our confidence is in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Hey, Bob. Come up here just for a second.
Okay.
I just have a couple of questions that people may ask.
Oh, question time. Oh, man.
Yes. So explain the critical race theory to folks who may not even know what that is. Just in a two-minute nutshell, what that is.
Well, that's what I tried to do.
Well, I know, but just kind of define where are they really going with it? It's like, how do they come up with it? Where is it really
It's
going?
Been around for a very long time. It's not something that's very new, but it's become part of the culture where that there has been in the past definite racism, right? And certain groups have some grievances. Things that are right, and the whole Black Lives Matter things. They started out with some very good points. But the thing has been hijacked by the Marxist, and now they want to get rid of everything of a Western culture because it's evil. It's so sad, because if you're against critical race theory, then you must be a white supremacist. It's not that cut and dried. Yeah. I mean, we can feel for and understand where different ethnic groups have gone through things and understand where they're coming from. But they want to take it Some people have hijacked it, take it another step, yeah. And they want to get rid of Western culture, democracy, capitalism, and create a socialist world. And that's just a communist agenda. So is that enough?
Yes, yeah. Very good, very good.
Thanks.
And how can we, in a week, would obviously be a blessing to you. You travel, you said, 45 times a year, kind of doing this message. This is a very important message to get out. And so I just want to encourage you. We, as a church, support him coming here. And so if you want to give above and beyond what we're going to give to him, please fill out a little envelope. Say, I want to be part of that guy's ministry to help get the truth out of what's going on. He travels all over to churches and conferences. So if you want to be part of joining, this effort of doing that, just do that with your envelope and then turn it into the offering, or just buy some of those books as well back there
Appreciate that.
And so I think we just need to take a moment to pray. Pray for our nation. We need to pray for people in Haiti. They're going through some tough stuff. People in Afghanistan are going through some tough stuff. And so the world is very much perplexed. Don't you agree? And so we need to be people of praying. So let's just take a moment to pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this, the foundation of truth for our lives. Thank you so much for that precious gift you've given to us. Lord, I pray that each one of us would treasure that gift and get to know that gift and know the God of that gift, to be set free and understanding the truth and understanding what's really going on in our culture and all of these things. And Father, we lift up our brothers and sisters in Haiti. Lord, we thank you for all the relief help that's coming there to help them. We pray for those in Afghanistan going through some very, very difficult moments. And so we pray for places of refuge for them. We pray for help along the way. We pray for wisdom for our country and our leaders to handle this properly and maybe in a better way. And so, Lord, we pray for you to intervene on their behalf, and we lift them up to you. We thank you for what you're doing in China. Lord, we pray that that would happen all over this world, that we would truly be known as people who are passionate about Jesus and not become casual about what we believe, but be firm. What Scripture talks about, be firm in our faith, remain true to our faith, even in the midst of hard times. So, Father, help us be strong and help them be strong and stay steadfast till the end. And give us much wisdom and discernment in these days, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.